Hi, and welcome to the Feed the Pig podcast. I'm your host, Tim Farrell. Money shouldn't drive your future, but neither should debt. It's time for you to take control, not just for today, but for your whole life. Remember, small changes add up. The Feed the Pig podcast is here to help you take steps to start saving for today, so you'll have a solid financial future tomorrow. Here in episode 7, we're going to be talking about buying your first car and all the financial issues that go with it. That way, when you go into the dealership, you're not spinning your wheels. Hey, welcome back to the Feed the Pig podcast. Wow, it's time to buy a new car, and I have Sean here, and he's decided he needs a new one, and he's going to tell us a little bit about the process and what it's like for him going through it. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm doing all right. How are you, Tim?
I'm surviving. And in addition to that, we have Mark Minker. He's a CPA from New York City on the line. Mark, thanks for coming again and joining us.
Thanks for having me, Tim.
All right. Why do you need a car?
Basically, Tim, I carpool with people to work every single day, and that's fine. I'm living at home with my parents, and, you know, it's fine. I save money. I give them gas money. But I really hate imposing on them, and I have money in savings, so why not just buy a new car?
Okay. Well, what is your commute like?
45 minutes.
45 minutes. And
long.
And there's no mass transit?
No. I live out in the country.
Okay.
I pass cows on my way to work.
So, you're looking at, have you looked at any cars? Have you gone into any dealerships? Have you gone and like done any groundwork?
I haven't really gone into dealerships. I live in a small town, so I have to go somewhere else to look at cars. And dealerships, they always want to talk you into something. They always want to, you know, make you sign something the first time you go in. So I haven't really looked around yet. But I mean, I've seen some nice cars as I drive by and I like them.
Mark, what are some of the things that he should be considering here? It's your first car, correct?
Right.
And should he be thinking used? Should he be thinking new? What are your thoughts?
Well, excellent question, and obviously a very important issue that a lot of listeners are probably dealing with as well. I give you kudos, number one, for carpooling. I think that's a great way to share what is an extremely costly expense, especially as you're starting out. And it sounds like you've got a really long commute, so maybe it's not only the carpooling, but the fact that you just want to have some peace and quiet on your own. You know, you mentioned the high-pressure stuff that you got to deal with when you go into an automobile dealership. You know, you can get past that pretty quick, and I think that as we start talking about the actual experience from a purchasing perspective, you know, we may be able to give you some pointers. But to answer your specific question, you know, I understand the desire, you know, to purchase a brand new shiny car, you know, right off the showroom floor, smells wonderful,
one of those
looks
Mustangs.
Really slick. I think, you know, it probably would be prudent, at least initially, to consider perhaps a certified pre-owned automobile that is coming off of a lease that the dealership is certifying is still under warranty. So you kind of get the best of both worlds. You don't get that immediate depreciation of buying a new car and then driving it off the lot and, you know, the value has dropped 20 or 30%, you know, the next day. But you're also getting the assurance that the manufacturer is standing behind the vehicle, you know, for at least a considerate period of time so that if anything does go wrong, you know, it'll be on their dime in terms of fixing it as opposed to yours.
How do I find a certified pre-owned car? I mean, I've seen used cars by the side of the road, but I don't necessarily just want to get an old car that's going to die in a year.
Sure, I agree. I mean, many of the dealers now, if you think back, you know, leasing has become such an incredible portion of the automobile business today that a lot of folks are essentially cycling through automobiles every 2 or 3 years. As those automobiles are coming off of lease, the dealerships are taking them back and going through the cars, making sure that they meet all the different inspection points, etc., and then, you know, offering them as effectively used cars, but they call it certified pre-owned, meaning that it's not just a used car that somebody's been kicking around in for 7 or 8 years and they just want to clunk it out and get rid of it. You know, these are late model autos that generally are still, you know, have a long useful life. Maybe they're broken in and all the other stuff that's gone wrong with them has already been dealt with, and the manufacturers are standing behind them. So most, you know, of the main manufacturers do have these certified pre-owned programs. You can go on the website, for example, of any of the main manufacturers, find the dealer that's local to you, and then you can actually browse through their inventory of automobiles that they have that are certified pre-owned without having to even go into the dealership, which may kind of take that high-pressure thing that we talked about away a little bit. In addition to that, they also do show the options that the autos have, the color, the body style. It'll tell you, you know, how many miles are on it, and it gives you the price. So you can actually do a lot of your shopping in advance before you even get down to the showroom. And if you find a couple of them that you like, that's the point that you can print those sheets out, you know, maybe call the dealership or even just show up at the dealership during a slow time. I wouldn't go on a weekend because they're really busy then and they just want to kind of get sales done. But if you go like late in the afternoon or in the evening during a week, usually the salespeople are a little less, you know, stressed out and harried, and they may be able to spend a little bit more time with you. And you can say, hey, I saw these 3, 4, 5, 2, whatever the number was. I'd like to check them out. And, you know, can you tell me a little bit about them? And let them educate you on the cars themselves. And, you know, if you're, you know, obviously take them for a test drive. And if you're comfortable with the salesperson and the product that they have, then, you know, you may have a much more positive experience than just going to a used car lot or trying to get something new because, you know, they're obviously looking to move some metal off the lot.
You had said that you had gone to a couple of dealerships and tried to, you know, go in and look at it. What cars were you looking at?
I probably was looking at the wrong kind. I was looking at the sports cars and the really nice ones. But, I mean, I know I probably can't afford that yet, but obviously that's something that I would be shooting for. So,
you know, one of the things that comes to mind, I bought my first car in 1997. It was a Civic, a four-door Civic, and I think gas at the time was 77 cents a gallon. I used to fill up for like 10 bucks. It was unbelievable.
Man, I wish it was 70 cents a gallon now.
and now I realize just how old I feel because I picture my grandparents on the, you know, when I was your age, we paid a nickel for that. So have you thought about the other expenses that are going to be involved with the car? You know, yeah, you got to buy the car. We're going to have to figure out what the financing and all of that. But then once you have the car, there's other stuff involved. Have you thought about any of that?
I have to buy car insurance and stuff like that?
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
No? Unfortunately, car insurance, you have to.
All right. So you're saying that I probably shouldn't get a new car unless I get the new car, you know, air freshener from my certified pre-owned. But then, you know, should I use all my savings on the new car or should I save that for the insurance? Is that where that comes in?
Oh, gosh. I would certainly not want to see you, you know, throw all of the savings that you've accumulated towards the purchase of an automobile. I mean, is the commute really that bad carpooling-wise that you're going to, you know, take everything you've put aside and throw it on a new car?
Well, what else am I saving for? I mean, eventually I'm going to move out of the house, but I've been saving up for a while for it. I have, you know,
How do you decide down payment, like the size of your down payment? I guess it's a balance between payments, you know, car payments, whether you're leasing or buying, and the down payment. By kind of, they affect each other. Can you talk a little bit about that, Mark?
Well, I mean, certainly they do affect each other. I mean, obviously, the more money you put down, the lower your monthly payments are going to be. But you're also essentially investing in a stack of metal and rubber and electronics. And those, unfortunately, unless they're collectible, are not going to appreciate. So I generally don't like to see, you know, clients throw a lot of money into a down payment. I do also believe that buying an automobile generally is better than leasing one.
Why?
Because number one, you know, cars have a very long useful life. I mean, you talked about the Honda that you bought, you know, oh so long ago, and I had a similar experience. I mean, I actually had purchased a Honda used when I had graduated from college, and I drove that thing probably about 140,000 miles. It was not the most pretty thing in the world at the end of the day, but it got me from point A to point B. And I think what we're really talking about, Sean, is giving you the opportunity to have a little bit of freedom. And, you know, that car represents that for you, and that's great. But, you know, let's be prudent from a financial perspective and not, you know, kind of sell the whole farm just so that you've got a, you know, a set of wheels to kind of get you from point A to point B. That'll come over time, hopefully. But now I think the prudent thing to do would be to, you know, get some basic transportation that's going to safely get you from one point to another in a comfortable way. Maybe you throw air conditioning in, which is something I didn't have at the time that I bought my first car, and it was a mistake. but it did have an AM radio, so I got some static as I had the, you know, windows open driving 60 miles an hour. We called it 460 air conditioning back then, by the way. Open all four windows, drive 60 miles an hour, you cool off. But, you know, putting down somewhere between, let's say, 10, perhaps maybe 20%, you know, if you have, you know, kind of a that much money would be fine. If you had sufficient funds to buy the car outright and still have some money left in your savings account, I think that's even better, because obviously if you take an automobile loan, you're going to be paying an interest factor on that, which is going to just increase the overall cost of the purchase. But, you know, you got to look at the entirety of what you have from a budgetary perspective. How much money do you have coming in? If you take on this car payment, is that going to still be comfortable for you economically? And if you can swing it, great. I mean, the other thing to consider, too, is that there are, you know, credits available for fuel-efficient cars. And we were talking about the 77-cent a gallon gasoline prices of yesteryear versus the $3 and change prices that we have today. A lot of the hybrid automobiles that are out there, you know, you can get a tax credit for purchasing them, which saves you money on your income taxes and also saves you money in terms of the operating costs of the car.
Okay, so I'm pretty much talked into not spending all my savings. I don't think I have enough to buy it outright. So I'm going to have to do, you guys have been talking about financing. So where, what's the best place to go to get an auto loan? Like, I know that they have them at the dealer, but is that, are they, aren't, isn't that a much higher rate?
Well, like anything else, I think you got to shop around. I mean, sometimes dealerships are offering, or manufacturers do offer, you know, very attractive financing arrangements. You may see 2.9% or 0.9% financing, you know, which are great deals. I mean, you know, you're not going to get a 0.9% interest rate or even a 2.9% interest rate from a bank. But absent, you know, a promotional rate such as that from a dealer, what I would do is I'd find out what the dealer's, you know, offering in terms of their financing. I'd go to maybe, you know, a local savings or community bank or two, and perhaps if there's a credit union, or maybe you're participating in a credit union through work, or there might be an affinity program through work where they have, you know, maybe a lower rate than you'd otherwise get if you just went into a commercial bank. You know, you gotta kind of have to shop that out and see what you're going to be able to do from a best price perspective, because the automobile loan really is a commodity at the end of the day, meaning, you know, whether you borrow from bank A, B, C, D, or Z, they're all basically just loaning you money and they want you to make a payment every month. So what you want to do is you want to go to the lender that's going to give you the absolute lowest rate and make it as easy for you to do the transaction as possible.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Feed the Pig podcast. Next time, we're going to be talking about the advantages of a 401k. I mean, if your boss said, hey, here's an extra $1,500 this year, would you say no? Mark Minker is a CPA, PFS, that's personal financial specialist, who works for Mahoney Cohen Family Office Services. And if you're looking for other ways to save, there's a host of resources at feedthepig.org. That's www.feedthepig.org. Or if you have any questions for us here on the podcast, you can email us at feedthepig@gmail.com. That's feedthepig@gmail.com.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or feedthepig.org. It is provided with the understanding that AICPA and feedthepig.org are not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and feedthepig.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.